non-alcoholic mulled wine and mince pies. So if any of you are planning on coming, and nearer the time it transpires you don't have guests to bring with you, please do sign up at the welcome desk to say that you could steward for us. And then just to flag up, we've got a newcomer's lunch approaching on December the 4th. That's Monday, December the 4th. If you'd like to come and find out a bit more about the barge and what goes on, if you're relatively new to the setup here, please do again sign up at the welcome desk for that. Final thing to say is, there's another little sheet on your tables which just gives you the chance to vote. How about that? Chance to vote on the very important issue of whether the 1:05 meeting on Wednesday should be at 1:15. Now, obviously, huge things rest on this, and, you know, it's just if you've got a preference there, for any of you who do occasionally get to a Wednesday later service, we just thought it might make sense to coordinate them all. The other services start at 4:15, so it's easier to remember. But do express your preferences on that. Just put a tick in one of the boxes and stick it in the basket on the way out. Today we begin a series of three on why did Jesus come, so in the lead up to Christmas and the carol services. So this week we're looking at Jesus the Doctor, a passage from Luke chapter 5, which is printed in your sheets. And we have a guest speaker this week because John Percival, my associate, is away for a few days. So we're delighted to welcome Peter Goodridge, who works at Chevron Texaco and is involved in Bible teaching in his local church. So he's going to be speaking to us today. So I'll hand over to Peter. Thank you.
Thanks, Marcus. So the Bible reading we're going to be looking at today is on your sheets. So I'm going to read that and then I'll pray and we'll begin. So the reading is Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 27. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can meet here this lunchtime and to ponder these great words from your Bible. We pray now that you'll open our hearts to understand them more fully and to just understand particularly why Jesus came and who he came for. Amen. Well, I'd like to begin this lunchtime by introducing you to three people. Now, it's important to say that these three people are imaginary. They're hypothetical. But despite that, as I go through them, I think that you might just recognise them because they are quite typical caricatures of our time. First of all, we have Samantha. Poor Samantha. Her story is very sad. You see, Samantha did not have a happy childhood. She suffered abuse at home. And the problem was really down to the fact that her mother was addicted to heroin, and she frequently lost control. As a result, Samantha did not do very well at school. She found it difficult to do her homework in an environment where there were drug parties and the like at home. Over the years, one thing led to another. Soon, Sam had been offered cannabis by one of her mother's friends. It did not stop at cannabis. Soon, she'd moved on to heroin itself. But now, of course, she had to pay for the drugs. The tragic result is that poor Sam is now a heroin addict at the age of just 19. And she's had to start to sell herself to get enough money to feed her addiction. Secondly, let me tell you about Joe. Joe works here at Canary Wharf. He probably is in your office. And he's doing quite well in his career. He's a young man, probably mid-20s, and he likes to think that he lives life to the full. Let's face it, Joe is a bit of a party animal. Many a night you'll find him down in one of the bars, chatting up the girls, having a good time and getting pretty drunk. Finally, we come to Harry. Now, Harry's a very religious man. He's probably here today on the barge. He was brought up in a religious home. He has a high standard of morality. He tries very hard to keep all the commandments that he sees in the Bible. Furthermore, he's absolutely delighted that finally his company are taking business ethics seriously. They're beginning to train people in ethics and conduct. Because Harry is just sickened by the way that he sees basic morals crumbling away in today's society. So there we have three very different people. Sam the heroin addict, who's ended up on the game, Joe the lad out for a good time, and Harry the religious churchgoer. Now, how do you think each one of our friends would answer the following questions? Why did Jesus come? Who did he come for? And why should I follow Jesus? Well, that's what we're going to be thinking about this lunchtime as we look at this passage in Luke's Gospel where Jesus calls Levi. And in particular, we're going to be focusing on the last couple of verses that were read to us. Verse 31 and 32. As we do so, I hope that we'll get a better understanding of just why it was that Jesus came and who he came for. And this, in turn, I'm hoping will help us to answer the question for ourselves, why should I bother following Jesus? So I hope you can all see the outline, also on the sheets, of today's talk. We're going to begin, obviously, by looking at the first point. It's a good place to begin. We can see this. Jesus is the doctor who can heal sin. We can see this in verse 31 of the Bible reading. Jesus says, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So the implication here, quite clearly, is that Jesus sees himself as some sort of doctor. Now, the previous couple of chapters in Luke's Gospel have shown that Jesus is indeed a pretty remarkable guy. He's a pretty remarkable doctor. He can heal all sorts of diseases. But that's not what Jesus means here, is it? It's a different focus here. The focus here is Jesus' ability to heal not physical sickness, but the devastating addiction of sin. Now, just two things to clarify there. First, what does Jesus mean by the term sin? And secondly, why am I referring to sin as some sort of disease? Some sort of sickness, an addiction. Well, firstly then, according to Jesus, what is sin? Well, sins are the things that we do that are morally wrong. But seeing as it is God who ultimately knows what is morally wrong, because he set the universal ethics and conduct code, sin at its core is ultimately a rejection of God and his ways. Secondly, why is sin like a disease or an addiction? Well, quite simply because sin has infected the human race, and we cannot seem to cure it. We've tried everything, haven't we? We've tried Marxism, capitalism, humanitarianism, modern science, democracy. We've even tried Live Aid to get rid of world poverty. And yet, what's happened? The world is still in a mess. Social justice is still a reality. We still have world poverty. The diagnosis, according to Jesus, comes down to that three-letter word, sin. Human selfishness, hate, bitterness, envy, they all seem to be incurable, don't they? It's like a contagious disease, this sin. We're all infected with it, all of us. If you don't believe me, you could always try this little challenge. Imagine your life has been videotaped, and now somebody has edited out all the boring bits and just kept those interesting bits, and is threatening to upload it onto YouTube on the internet. Now, how would that make you feel? I would want to do a bit of clever editing, for certain. See, my point is that sin is like a disease. It's an addiction. We're all infected. And we all need the attention of that very special doctor, Jesus. Because without him, we're helpless to cure ourselves. Now, in the Bible passage, we heard how Jesus called this man Levi, who was a tax collector. He called him to follow him. Now, back in the first century, tax collectors were disliked intensely. You may think that sounds a little unfair. But you see, tax collectors were not just civil servants doing their job. First century tax collectors collected tax for the Roman Empire, and they were the enemy, the oppressors. They had more in common with Nazi collaborators than people who work in the Inland Revenue. So in other words, you see, they were traitors. More than traitors, they were dishonest. they often lined their own pockets with the money of hard-working men. And what we see here, you see, is Jesus calling one of these traitors to follow him. And can you imagine Levi's reaction to that? Wow, this is just unbelievable. Jesus actually wants to have something to do with scum like me. I thought I was unforgivable. And yet, Jesus is asking me to leave behind my life of sin and to follow him. He is willing to accept me. Now, who would you say were the outcasts in society today? Do you think our friend Samantha, the heroin addict, would qualify? I think she probably would. She's probably looked down upon because of her addiction and prostitution. You can imagine her thinking, well, what on earth would Jesus possibly want to do with me? Surely he could not be interested in me. Surely I'm far too gone. Surely I'm one of the unforgivables. But what does Jesus say? He says that he is the doctor who has come to heal the sin problem. He is the doctor who has come to heal the sick. So he calls out to the Samanthas of this world. Sam, you see, could not see a way out because she's so addicted. But Jesus came to take away the addiction, to call sinners to follow him. He can and he will heal the sin problem. That's why he came. He is the ultimate doctor. Now, as I was going through my sermon with my wife, who's my best critic, last night, she just sort of told me that I really ought to just make something quite clear as well. There's many Christians who slip up at some stage of their life. We all do. But this is true, not just for people who have not yet come to know Jesus, but it's true also for people who are Christian. If we've slipped up, it doesn't mean that we can't be forgiven. Jesus is the doctor who has come to sort out sin. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that incredibly comforting. As far as Jesus is concerned, you see, nobody's too far gone that they cannot be rescued and forgiven and restored. A couple of months ago, I was reading this incredible book called From Whitewashed Stairs to Heaven. I thoroughly recommend it. It's the story of Maureen McKenna, who was an alcoholic, but she was restored by Jesus. And now, well, she's died now, but she spent the rest of her life working with the alcoholics and addicts in Glasgow. Nobody's too far gone. Before I move on to the second point, there may be somebody here who's just thinking, well, that's all very well. Great, Jesus is the doctor who can heal sin, but how does he do it? Well, quite simply, 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on a cross. And the Bible explains that he did this for a reason. He was the only person who was truly innocent, who was not infected by sin. And yet he died to take the punishment that our sins deserve. A substitution took place. He was innocent, and yet he took upon us all of the guilt, the sickness, the disease, if you like, so that we could take on his innocence and his cleanliness. That's how it works. So the position's a bit like this. Jesus has the power and the authority as the ultimate doctor to heal our addiction. The question is, will we go to the doctor to get help? Or will we be like one of those stubborn people who just sits at home saying, I'm a bit ill, but I don't really need to go to the doctor? Will we listen to the doctor? Well, that brings us to the second point this lunchtime. And the second point is that Jesus calls sinners to repent and follow him. Let's come back to the passage. And let's look again at Levi the tax collector, the collaborator, the traitor, the sinner. Levi's sitting there in his tax booth. He knows he is scum, and then Jesus, the doctor who can heal sin, sees him and says to him two words, verse 27, follow me. What does Levi do? Does he say, no way, mate, you must be joking. I'm onto a winner here, loads of money, know what I mean? Or does he say, no, I'm not sure, Jesus, you know, you're just not my scene. Or does he listen to Jesus, get up, leave everything behind, and follow him? Well, of course, he follows Jesus, doesn't he? He leaves behind his old way of life. He leaves behind his cheating, his collaboration, and starts again following his new master. The sinner has been called to follow the doctor. Jesus has called him to repent Now, repentance is a funny word. The word repentance basically means to turn around. So imagine that you're walking to Waitrose to do some shopping one Wednesday lunchtime. Suddenly you remember there's a talk on at the barge. So you stop walking, you turn around and start walking in the other direction. That's the idea of repentance. You're walking away from God, but then you stop, you turn around and you start heading back the other way, following Jesus. You see, Levi was living a life that was heading away from God. He was up to no good. The way that he was living his life meant that there would one day be consequences. One day he would die and have to account for his immoral life. He would, of course, like all of us here, be found wanting. But when Jesus called him, he turned around and followed Jesus. His past slate of sin was wiped clean and he started to head in the right direction. Because Jesus calls sinners to repent and to follow him. Now, the second person I introduced this morning was Joe, the lad, the party animal. Is he the sort of person that Jesus came for? What would be his response if Jesus called over to him, "Follow me"? Would he leave behind his freshly bought pint of Guinness and the stunning barmaid he's just been chatting to and follow Jesus? Of course, there's nothing wrong with having a pint of Guinness and chatting to somebody in the bar, but it's his attitude that's wrong. Joe has been living a life that's basically self-centred. The God he worships is a good night out. He's never had much time for God before. But Jesus calls to him. Jesus calls to sinners to repent and follow him. And that, of course, will include Joe. It will include each and every one of us. Because we're all sinners. We've all rejected God in one way or another. All of our lives fall short. The good news is that Joe has actually been coming to the realisation that, well, his lifestyle has been rather shallow. He has been looking out for number one. He's been thinking there must be more to life. He's been feeling guilty about the way he's used some of the girls he's known. So when Jesus calls him, he realises that it is time to change. So like Levi, he leaves his old life behind him and follows Jesus. Now, I don't know, maybe there is somebody here today who is a similar situation to Joe or to Levi. Well, Jesus came to call sinners to repent, to follow him. He calls us all to follow him. Well, will we listen and turn around? Will we continue to follow Jesus if we're already Christian? Will we leave our old ways behind us? Or will we continue to go our own way? Some food for thought. Let's move on to the final point this lunchtime. Jesus did not come to pander to the self-righteous. Jesus did not come to pander to the self-righteous. Did you notice who got upset in the Bible reading today? It's there in verse 30. It was the religious bigwigs of the day. You see, the Pharisees and their scribes were incredibly religious. They tried their hardest to live according to the commandments. Now, I want us to try and get into the mindset of the Pharisee. So if we sort of imagine that we go back in time 2,000 years, we are the Pharisees. So think about it. We're very religious people. We take God seriously. We're very moral, upstanding citizens. We like to think that we despise sin. We like to think that we're just so righteous. So we look down on those less religious than ourselves because they're sinners, they're scum. Our greatest desire is to see God's anointed Messiah, or Christ, come to rescue us from the Romans and to pat us on the head for being such good boys and girls. Okay, that's the mindset of the Pharisees. Bit of a caricature, but never mind. But what on earth are we Pharisees to make of Jesus? You see, he comes along showing great promise he's going to be this Messiah, and then what's he do? He doesn't come along to us and pat us on our heads. He goes off to these awful tax collectors, all these sinners. He starts having dinner with them. Well, we're not happy with that at all. How dare Jesus treat us like that? Well, perhaps the modern equivalent of a Pharisee is Harry the religious churchgoer. You see, Harry sees himself as a righteous, moral, upstanding citizen. But Harry's big issue is exactly the same as that of the Pharisee. He looks down upon people who are less religious. What on earth could Jesus want with Sam or with Joe? Why is Jesus spending all of his time with a heroin addict? Why is he interested in somebody who just goes out for a good time, flirts down the pub? Why is Jesus not in my church congratulating me on being such a good religious person? Maybe I'm overdoing it, but the point's clear, I hope. It's so easy to puff ourselves up into self-righteous bigots. So what long-term churchgoers like myself need to remember is that we're still not righteous. We're still sinners. Sinners who have simply been forgiven and out of gratitude and obedience now try to follow Jesus to the best of our ability. You see, that's why Jesus came. Jesus did not come to pander to the self-righteous. He came as the doctor who can heal the disease of sin. He came to call sinners, and that includes all of us, to repent and follow him. So Harry's problem, you see, is that of the Pharisee. He fails to see that he himself is infected, still infected. It's a long process recovering from sin, still infected as a Christian. He is still sick. He still needs the doctor. Now, some time ago, I received an email. It's one of the ones doing the rounds, but it's a poem, and I thought it was just very appropriate, so I hope you don't mind if I read it. I was shocked, confused, bewildered as I entered heaven's door, not by the beauty of it all, by the lights or its decor, but it was the folks in heaven who made me sputter and gasp. The thieves, the liars, the sinners, the alcoholics, the trash. There stood the kid, seventh grade, who swiped my lunch money twice. Next to him was my old neighbour, who never said anything nice. Herb, who I always thought was rotting away in hell, was sitting pretty on cloud nine, looking incredibly well. I nudged Jesus. What's the deal? I'd love to hear your take. How did all these sinners get up here? God must have made a mistake. And why is everyone so quiet, so sombre? Give me a clue. Hush, child, said he. They're all in shock. No one thought they'd see you. It's very true. Why did Jesus come? Well, he came to sort out the sin problem, the biggest problem humanity faces. You see, out of sin come all the rest of our problems. It's an epidemic, far more scary than AIDS or bird flu. Who did Jesus not come for? Well, he didn't come for the righteous, or rather, I should say, the self-righteous. No, he came for sinners, which meant he came for us. Because if we're honest with ourselves, that includes all of us. So why should I follow Jesus? Well, on the one hand, Jesus calls us to. He calls us to turn from our sins and to follow him. But another reason, because we need to. It's a serious call to follow Jesus because a dreadful fate awaits those who remain in their sin. One day we will have to give an account to Jesus for the way that we've lived our lives. But in case following Jesus and turning away from sin sounds a bit like of a tall order, it sounds too difficult to manage, then we need to remember that Jesus died to heal us from the epidemic of sin. So as we repent and follow Jesus, we can be certain that he is there with us in the recovery process. It may well be hard going through the recovery process, but we do have the best doctor on hand day and night to help us. And that's encouraging. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, the ultimate doctor. Thank you that because of him and his death, we no longer need to worry about facing condemnation because of our sin, because he wipes the slate clean. So please help us to leave behind our lives of sin. Get up and follow him. Amen. Please do stick around. There is coffee on the tables and some lunch.